Chapter 3.
I want to talk to you this morning about the scripture. And I know that what the Bible says about itself, and I'm going to just look at some things here this morning and compare a few things and see what the Lord has for us. But Joe, would you introduce this young couple to this class?
Yeah, this is my sister and brother-in-law. They're from Pennsylvania, but they're pretty good people.
Are y'all going to stay or are you going back?
No, they're going back.
Y'all not going back, are you? You're going back to Pennsylvania?
No.
We'll pray for you. That's a good place to be. I've been in Pennsylvania several places up in Philadelphia and all. In the last time I was in Philadelphia, I reckon I was a teenager with Mom and Dad. We was headed to Lansing, Michigan. And we got in downtown Philadelphia, and you'd be driving down the road, and all of a sudden the car in front of you'd stop, and they'd get out and shut the door and walk off and leave it. You'd have to go out around them. I don't know if they permit that anymore or not, but they did back then. Okay, we're going to read here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but first, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you now for the time we have here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you preserved your word for us and sent someone to teach us the word of God rightly divided. And we ask you, Lord, to do the same for us here this morning, to build us up in the faith and lead us by your spirit. And Father, we ask you to be especially with those that are sick. We know their discomforts and their needs. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. All scripture, and I believe that's Romans to Philemon included, and Genesis through Revelation included. That's all scripture. Not just what was given to Paul, but that's all scripture. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And the word doctrine there is just whatever is taught. So I know in the books of Romans to Philemon, the news that was committed to the Apostle Paul is separate from that of. And I know you can go back in Genesis and find some people back here that Paul wrote to in his first six epistles that he wrote that were in the covenants of promise back here. But there's some people over here such as us that were not in the covenants of promise that Paul also wrote seven epistles to. And when Paul wrote these seven epistles, these last epistles, he said he had fulfilled the Word of God. So when he had made mention of fulfilling the Word of God, I believe the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Hebrews through Revelation, were already written before Paul wrote Colossians when he said that he fulfilled the Word of God. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, everything that's been done that God wanted done, and I think that he knew who was going to go and do what. You see, that's why I contend that I don't need to know the Greek and the Hebrew. You know why? Do y'all know what zone y'all live in? What it's called? The Bible Belt. Where is the truth of the Word of God going from? From English-speaking people. I don't need to know Greek and Hebrew. All I need to do is to believe the English words, and that's what we're going to do here this morning. Now, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, if all scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, let's look at some things. Let's compare some things out of Romans to Philemon that's different than this over here, and this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and this back here. Now, if we can see some differences, you don't need a new translation. You just need to know that Paul said rightly divide the word of truth. And when you divide Paul's gospel out from this here, you're dividing it out from the gospel of the kingdom. This is called the gospel of God, and those who first trusted in Christ. It's called the dispensation here, and it's a dispensation here that was given to people that were not in the covenants of promise. Now, let's compare some things. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What are the people in Romans to Philemon looking for? Let us see if we can find out. In Romans chapter 4, First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, the church, people in the church, the body of Christ, and I'm going to say this represents everybody that God foreknew before the foundation of the world that would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Paul said the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ was first preached by the Apostle Paul. Paul's the first person to ever hear why Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and he wrote it down, and he said Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for our justification. So if you will confess that and believe that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, the Holy Spirit will baptize you into what is called the body, the church, which is his body. This is no water baptism in Romans to Philemon. It is all spiritual. It's a spiritual body made up of spiritual believers believing a spiritual message. So when the body is full, we'll say that's the last person that God knew before the foundation of the world that would trust Christ as their Savior. Then the body goes out. The Lord will come down, and with a shout, we'll go up. Those that are asleep will rise. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then after that, you'll have the tribulation. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30, but Jacob will be saved out of it. The Antichrist will be revealed. The church, the body of Christ, is withholding the Antichrist from being revealed right now. That's the only thing stopping the Antichrist from being revealed. We got to get out of here. Jesus Christ has delivered us in AD 33. He delivered the whole body of believers, which is his body, delivered us up, and we are seated at the right hand of God the Father spiritually in Christ. So we're in the kingdom of his dear son. I'm not looking for the kingdom over here. Now there are some people that are looking for the second coming over here, not the rapture. The rapture and the second coming are not the same. You understand? Peter is not in heaven. John? Well, I tell you what, dude. Hold what you got here and go to John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. Just believe your Bible. Now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he said, comfort one another with these words. What are the words that I have to comfort you with? That when the rapture takes place, our loved ones that's gone on before, they will rise. We will meet them in the air. Then we will meet the Lord together with them. One unit. You understand? One corporate unit of different believers. Those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sin. We're not believing Peter's gospel. Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sin. Paul said, Christ died for our sins. They are paid for. Sins ain't man's problem. Unbelief is man's problem today. If man goes to hell today, it's because of his unbelief, not his sin. Jesus Christ, God made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus Christ said, well, Paul, through the words of the Lord, said that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that keeps the law. Now, that wouldn't make no sense at all, would it? How could Jesus Christ be the end of the law and then somebody tell you you got to keep the law? Mm-hmm. I watched Joel Osteen a tad this morning. He's a good orator. Y'all know what an orator is, don't you? Somebody's got good speech. I ain't one of them. You just hang it up. If you come in here a good orator, you might as well leave your mouth, because I ain't. And the last thing he did, he ruined everything that he'd already done. The last thing he did, say, now I want y'all out there to pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I confess my sins. Holy Lord, I tripped him off right there. Do you know why? If you got a sin that you got to confess, you're not believing that Jesus Christ did enough at Calvary to save you. You're saying something that God didn't tell you to do. Paul never told you to confess your sins. He told you in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. He didn't say confess your sins. He said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know why it's important that you believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead? You know why? I was resurrected with him. I was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and when Jesus Christ was resurrected in AD 33, before I was ever born in 35, I was already seated at the right hand of God the Father. You can't beat that. Amen. Peter didn't know anything about that, neither did any of the 12. Jesus Christ didn't preach that in his earthly ministry. He told them, I'm going up to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me, but the third day I'm going to rise again. You know what Peter preached about that in Acts 2? Preached that Jesus Christ was resurrected to sit on the throne of his Father David. When will that happen? Second coming. So what are these people back here looking for? The rapture? No, they're looking for the second coming. What are these people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John looking for? Second coming. Now let's compare some things. John chapter 3, verse 13. Now, by the way, when Joel Osteen got through telling them people what to say and what to do, he said, now I believe you're born again. Now, I'm looking at some of you in here, and y'all say y'all have trusted Christ as your Savior. You don't look born again to me. You look like the same old thing that you was before you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Same as me. I still live in a vile body. That's what God's going to do at the rapture. He's going to change our vile bodies. We'll be fashioned like in his glorious body. And you know who his glorious body is? He's the expressed image of God Almighty. That's something, beloved. That is something. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. Is anybody ascended up to heaven yet? No. Who is the only man that has ascended up to heaven?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Who now?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, wait a minute. I got some good news for you. Y'all leaving somebody out. Watch what he says here in John chapter 3, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Well, who came down from heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among these people here. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The Word, right here, was made flesh. Even the Son of Man, where's he at? Which is in heaven, hold a fort, and that's the Son of Man standing there. And what did he say? He said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, who went with him?
We did.
The body.
Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, just believe your Bible. This is why the resurrection is so important in John, in the book of Romans chapter 1. In other words, in Romans chapter 1, Jesus Christ was proved to be with power, the Son of God. How? By the resurrection from the dead. When he was resurrected, I was resurrected. I, because I'm a member of his body. He didn't just take the head to heaven, he took the whole body. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it binds us together. It holds us together. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. In other words, we're walking around in a dead body, just waiting for the time to leave here. We're born to die. We're not dying because we're bad. We're dying because we took on Adam's blood back here, and when Adam disobeyed God, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, Paul was written to Timothy, and he said, God has abolished death for us. Now, you may have to go to sleep in Christ, but I got comforting words for you. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. My brother went to sleep in Christ in 1955 of June. Got killed by a drunk head on. Right out of the Air Force. I was in the Marines at Camp Lejeune when I got the news that he had gotten killed. He is asleep. He is not in heaven looking down here at me. Will somebody pull your wool over your eyes? No man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. But something went with him. What is it? Look at verse 15. Let's go to verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore? Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is born again. Oh, he ain't born again. He's a new creature. Listen, was Adam born back here or created? He was created. So I'm recreated in Christ, a new creature. I'm not born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. That new creature that was in Christ was resurrected in A.D. 33. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, after we confessed our sins and asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Well, I mean, that's what Joel Osteen said this morning. Look how proud he's got. I mean, got to be right. He's got 10,000 or 15,000 ushers in there, plus about 100,000 people. Got to be right. Is that what your Bible says? Now listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Would God lie to you? No, he will not lie to you. God said, hath I not said, and shall I not make it good? God promised you something, he'll give it to you. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Hath. Is that past tense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Already took place in. Hath quickened us together. You know, the word quickened means made alive. We were dead. So he died for all those that were dead in trespasses and sins. But now he's quickened us, made us alive. Now watch what he says here. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. When? When was Jesus Christ quickened?
AD 33.
Was any of y'all here in AD 33? I wasn't. I was almost here, but I wasn't quite here. I missed it by a couple of years. But did he quicken us together with Christ? Why? Watch what he says here. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we seated with Christ at the right hand of God the Father? Well, why worry about what's going to happen today or tomorrow? Why not just say, hey, I believe God Almighty is going to take care of me. And I've had some problems the last year and the starting of this year, and I've still got some, and I know every one of y'all have got your own problems. But does God got the answer for you?
Yes.
He sure has. He said, comfort one another with these words. Why? When Jesus Christ was resurrected, we ascended up with him. So John chapter 3, verse 13, no man. What went with Jesus Christ? One new man. A new creature in Christ. We are, according to Ephesians chapter 4, we are members of his flesh and his bone, not flesh and blood. This Bible is very clear. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. And you know what Paul told us in Corinthians chapter 6? Well, I tell you, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to show you something here. We're going to get to these older people here in just a minute. We headed that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor railers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Were some of us in this category? Well, I still am. Now what am I going to do? Didn't God Almighty say I've already been quickened together with Christ? Well, is he going to say, now, listen, I just saw what you did yesterday, Mr. Peters, and you just got to get out of here. I'm going to kick you out of heaven.
No.
You know what? The Bible says I'm sealed until the day of redemption. My lifestyle ain't got nothing to do with me being sealed. You know why I was sealed? Because of what I believed in my heart. That Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, paid for all of my sins. My sins ain't my problem. They were put on Jesus Christ. God made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My righteousness is not hinged on what the law says or what it does or what I do about it. According to 1 John, sin's a transgression of the law. Paul said, where there is no law, there is no condemnation. I can't be condemned. God can't cast me out. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 11, such were some of you. But you were washed. Well, automatically, in people's mind, they see water baptism. You know why? When I take a bath, I turn the spigot on. What I get out of the spigot? Water. And when I was in the Marines, I was stationed on a ship for quite some time over in the Mediterranean. And you took a military bath. Y'all know what a military bath is? You turn the water on, get wet, turn it off. Take your soap and soap down, then you turn the water on and rinse it. If they catch you standing there with the water running the whole time like we do nowadays, although this water's free, you know, we got plenty of it, just let her run. Now, if they caught you doing that, you'd have to get in trouble. What you'd do, you'd go to a court-martial. You took a military bath because they didn't have it so much fresh water on the ship. And everybody on there needs to take a bath. Because you live kind of close quarters, you know. And after a while, the old body, whether you sweat or not, it's going to go stinking after a while because it's a vile body. Thank God. He's going to change it someday, and I ain't going to have to take a bath no more. But you know what the washing is here? It's by the Word. Look what he says. Such were some of you, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you what the washing is there. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse... In the context of Jesus Christ in the church, the body of Christ, and go to verse... For the context, go to verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and that ain't the local building, that's the body, the church which is his body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Reason, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. How am I sanctified? How am I cleansed from all my problems? By the Word. Now, let's go over here and compare these people here. We're looking for the rapture, for our vile body to be changed. Whether we wake or sleep, it don't make no difference. We will be taking a change when the rapture takes place. If it's 100 years from now or 1,000 years, it don't make no difference. When my brother wakes up at the rapture, it's going to be just like 1955 to him. I mean, it's going to be just like that there. Just like he just met, the rapture took place that day for him. And if you have a loved one that's gone on before, it's going to be just like they just woke up. It don't make no difference if it's a million years in between the time they went to sleep or when they wake up. God knows who they are, and the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Does God know you? Do you know the Lord? Have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Is there a time in your life that you can think back and say, hey, this is the day I trusted Christ? You may not know the very date or the very minute, but you know in your heart if you have ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I ain't talking about walking the aisle. I ain't talking about paying your tithes. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about going to the church every time the door's open. I'm talking about, is there a time in your life that you can put your finger on and say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for all my sins, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in what he did, and if I die and go to hell, he's going to be down there with me. Is there a time in your life that you ever done that? If you haven't, why not do it right now? You ain't got to go nowhere. You ain't got to stop doing nothing. You ain't got to start doing something. All you got to do is believe. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you may be saved. These people here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ trained them that they got to go through the tribulation over here to get to the kingdom, and they're going to have to die over here. We don't have to die. He's abolished death for us. Why? Because Jesus Christ took my death that I deserve. That cross that he went to belonged to me. You do know he took Barabbas' cross, don't you? A murderer and a thief. That was my cross. That's your cross. Have you ever seen yourself at Calvary hanging on a cross in Jesus Christ? Why not trust him this morning? If you are sitting here and you ain't never trusted the Lord, God help you. I hope the Holy Spirit won't let you sleep until you get the thing straight. When you lay your head down on your pillow tonight, if you don't wake up in the morning, where are you going to be at? There ain't but one thing between you and a heartbeat, between you and hell, and that's Jesus Christ right there at Calvary. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And what did Christ do? He died for every person in the world. Whether they believe it or not ain't the issue. Whether they even believe in God Almighty ain't the issue. Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, he died for all men. Why? Because all men are sinners. Amen. Sinners need a Savior.
Amen.
Got to have it. You ain't no other way. You ain't never going to get good enough to meet God's righteousness.
Amen.
Your own self-righteousness won't get her done. The only thing that'll save you is what Christ did at Calvary. And you don't believe that, when you die, you're going to go to hell. I mean, it's that simple. Beloved, what I need to do, I'm like Paul said, if I set myself on fire, would it help me see it? You see, I'm cleansed by the washing of the Word, and Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, according to John chapter 19, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But the Holy Spirit was renewed in him. I have that same Spirit of truth in me to bear witness with his words. Now, let's look at these people over here. Let's see what they're looking for. Let's see if they're looking for the rapture. Go with me to, I'll tell you what, let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's do it there. Take Deuteronomy chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 11. Give me a minute. Yeah. I want you to see something here. You see, I believe every word in this 1611 King James Bible is there for very important reasons. And there's one word in what we're fixing to read right here that is very, very important. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I know God's dealing with Israel here, But it's all scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine. Mm-hmm. Sure is. Now let's see what happens. Go to verse 13. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. Now I know that's Israel, but just pay attention to what he says here now. To love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. Do you see that? His right there. Pay very close attention to that. He's referenced this rain as to his, ain't he? Well, I saw his rain this morning pouring down at the house. His rain. Very important. Verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Go to Hosea, you'll have Daniel, Hosea. If you go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, come on over past Ezekiel to Daniel. Past Daniel, go to Hosea, chapter 6. Did God tell them if they would hearken diligently and keep his commandments, he would give them the early and the latter rain in his due season? Well, beloved, one part of the rain's already come. They're looking for another rain over here. We're not looking for that rain. We're looking for the Savior, the head of the church, the body of Christ. They're looking for the King. Their king came right here riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of an ass. I have to be careful how I say some words around here because little folks. Because I said something one time in front of my granddaughter and her friend. Oh, you said a bad word. Well, I had to get my Bible and show them. I said, wait a minute, it's in the Bible. I hadn't calmed that situation. So you have to be careful what you say to unlearned people, and I'm not saying they're stupid, but they don't understand what words mean sometimes. They just think they're bad, you know. And mama might wash their mouth out with soap like my mom. Do y'all do that? Do you do that? Did you do that?
Yes.
Well, my mama, I ought not have a tongue. My mama tried to wash that devil out of my tongue every time I said something bad, and I'd forget about it, and mama would hear me. Get that bar of soap, boy, and wash my mouth. Anyway, so these people here are looking for the early and latter rain in his due season. Well, there's already a season come right in, they rejected him. Now let's watch what he says. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1. Now this is still Israel. Don't forget now, this ain't the church of body of Christ. This is Israel. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Well, has Israel returned to the Lord yet? No, they ain't. For he hath torn. He will heal us. Over here in the tribulation, he's torn. He will heal us. He has smitten. He will bind us up. After 2 days. Let's say that the Bible is very clear. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. So we've already had about 2,000 years, ain't we? Now watch what he says here. Very closely. Pay attention. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So, in the third day, let's say this is the third day over here. This is the rapture took place. It didn't say at the beginning, or at the end, or in the middle. He just said in the third day. Saying the day with the Lord's 1,000 years. So we've already basically had 2,000 here. Rapture takes place in the third day. What's he going to do? He's going to revive us again. Ain't that what he said? Did y'all ever sing the song in the church? Yeah. Revive us again. Yeah, now y'all know the song, don't you? Ain't got nothing to do with us.
No.
He ain't going to revive us. He's going to change our vile body.
Amen.
Now, verse 2, after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the early, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. His rain, Deuteronomy chapter 11, in his due season. Well, they've already had one season here and they rejected him. He's going to give them another chance over here in the 7-year tribulation over here. 7-year tribulation, according to Luke 21 and Jeremiah 30 and other places, is for Israel to make herself ready for the Lord to come back again. You understand? He said, those that turn from ungodliness in Jacob, he said, this is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. Our sins are already gone.
Amen.
I ain't got to wait till the rapture of the second coming. My sins were took care of at Calvary. So were yours. So were the sins of the world. They were done away with at Calvary. These people's sins will be taken away. Those that endure to the end over here. Now watch what he says. Go to Joel, next book over. Joel chapter 2. Hosea, going to it, Matthew. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring forth. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree, the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Y'all know what the first month is for Israel? According to Exodus? It's Nisan. Y'all know when that is? That's the beginning of months with Israel. Springtime. That's the beginning when they came out. Jesus Christ told them, this day shall be the first beginning of the month. It will be the first month spiritually. So he's going to come in the first month. Mark her down. You know when the second coming is going to be, but you ain't going to be here. If you are, you're going to believe this Antichrist. God Almighty told you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that if you didn't receive the love of the truth back here, if you go into the tribulation, you will believe a lie and be damned when you do, because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. So if you think you're going to just play around with God Almighty and go into the tribulation and say, well, I'll take care of my salvation later on, if the rapture takes place and you miss it, you go into the tribulation. I know you've heard the gospel of Christ. Especially you that's in this room right now. If you're sitting here unsaved, God Almighty is going to send you a strong delusion, and you'll believe that lie and be damned when you do. Why? Because you receive not the love of the truth back here that you might be saved. Salvation is so simple.
Peter, is that the thing that the Jews that rejected the counsel of God?
The Jews that rejected
the counsel of God when he came and he told them that they had to be baptized. And that when they have a chance to be saved.
Those that rejected the counsel of God back here, they could hear Paul's gospel and be saved. That's the only thing that would save them when Paul went to them in the synagogues back here, Jew and the Gentile. Well, at first he went to the Jew first. Some of them believe and some of them believe not. Then he went to the Jew and the Gentile in the synagogues. And then some of them believe and some believe not. So if they died in unbelief, they in hell, according to Luke chapter 16. They ain't no hope for them. You see, there's no in between heaven and hell. You're either saved or you're lost. And if the lost die, they go straight to hell. The rich man in Luke 16 is a very good thing of that. And he sees Lazarus, a saved Jew, in the bosom of Abraham, and Lazarus is asleep. Lazarus don't open his mouth. Abraham talks to the rich man, and in hell, he said, I'm tormented in these flames. He said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water. And I suspect when Abraham told him, said, there's a gulf fixed between where we are and where you are. You can't come from there over here, and he can't come from here over there. I suspect Lazarus sees, the rich man sees Lazarus there, and he says, dip his finger in water. I suspect when he goes by that gulf, and I know what a gulf is. We got one right out here, and it's got water in it. The rich man wanted some water for his tongue. He said, I'm tormented in these flames day and night. Mark is very clear. I think it's either chapter 7 or chapter 9, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You wind up in hell, there ain't no hope for you. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day God would have you to be saved. Now is the day God would have you to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? We're going out in the rapture. These people here and these people here and back here are looking for the second coming. Now watch what he says here in Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Again, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth the fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Can't miss it. I tell you what, James is so close to Hebrews. Take Hebrews chapter 9 while you got James chapter 5. James chapter 5. It won't take but one or two verses. Now, verse 7. James 5, verse 7. Patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. That's the second coming. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Second coming. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So at the second time over here, those that turn from ungodliness in Jacob, he said, this is my covenant unto them. It's the new covenant. He said, this is my covenant unto them when I will take away their sins. Psalm 103, he said he put their sins as far as the east is from the west and will remember them no more. After they go through the 7-year tribulation over here, which is the tribulation for Israel, Luke chapter 21 is very clear, wrath upon this people, his people. Why? Because they forsook the Lord. They went into total idolatry, made them idols of all the people around the land, and they went into total idolatry, and God finally divorced Israel, gave her a bill of divorcement, and put her out of his house. They have got to go through the tribulation over here to make themselves ready for the coming of the Lord. And those that endure to the end, they die to get into the kingdom over here. Men, you don't have to. Jesus Christ died for us. According to Colossians chapter 2, we are already in the kingdom of his dear Son. I ain't looking for the kingdom to come. I'm already in the kingdom of your dear son. Now, are these people looking for the early and the latter rain in his due season? First month, the second coming will take place over here. They will go into the 1,000-year millennial reign, and they will reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. And they will be a kingdom of priests and holy nation as these were back here. Exodus 19, they were a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He took the kingdom from them in Matthew 21. He gave it to the little flock, which Peter's the head of. The little flock over here goes into the tribulation. They don't know anything about these 2,000 years right here. That's a mystery. They didn't know anything about a body called the body of Christ. Now, those who first trusted in Christ, their salvation is hid in the scriptures back here. Wasn't revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Our salvation that were not in the covenants of promise is a gap in between here, if you please. In Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul and told him, I'm going to send you far hence to these Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. And they said, away with such a fellow from the earth, it ain't fit that you should live. You know why? He's going contrary to the covenant promises back here. But we are not in the covenants of promise. We're not in prophecy. This is all mystery. Amen. Not prophecy. I'm not looking for any prophecy to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. Ain't nothing got to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. It can take place before I get through speaking right now. Boom, gone out of here. And if you're still here, you will believe the Antichrist. God said you would. Beloved, this character right here, the spirit of Satan, is all-powerful, whether you know it or not. And you know what he's doing? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to take 2 Peter while you're at it, before we leave from back there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 11. Somebody remind me to go to Revelation 11 because my little old mind, I may forget. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the ministry is the spirit of the New Testament, not the letter, but the spirit of chapter 6, of chapter 3, verse 6. We're ministers of the New Covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You understand? Because you got some preachers that'll take that verse and say, we are New Testament preachers, and I ain't. The New Testament ain't made until second coming over here. It's very clear in the book of Hebrews. And it's not for the church of body of Christ. It's for Israel. They had a covenant back here, but they broke it. So God divorced them. They're going to make themselves ready over here, and he's going to make a new covenant with them, and that new covenant has laws in it. And if they get out of line in that law over there, just Katie bar the door. There ain't no, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'll repent of that. No, it's, you're gone. It's over with. No hope. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, after we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Beloved, if you don't know what the gospel of Christ is, chances are you're not saved. Amen. That thing that Joel Osteen preached to them people this morning won't save them. Oh, Lord, I repent of my sins. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Come on, that is not Paul's gospel. Paul said that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What did he say? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, confess what? Your sins? He didn't say confess your sins. He said confess and say the same thing that the scripture said. What does the scripture say? That Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, died for all my sins. My sins are gone. They're took care of at Calvary. Does that mean we sin because we're not under the law? Paul said in Romans 6, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And you know what? Most folks don't know what sin is, no how. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. Romans 4:15 says, where there is no transgression, what? Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Can you transgress a law that ain't there? You know, I've told you over and over and over, I break the laws all over this land. But there's a law out here on the highway out here, I think it's about 40 miles an hour. Well, if you go above that, and then little blue lights come on, you done got in trouble, ain't you? Well, what if you go out there and they say, well, this is too slow, we'll put it up to 50. You go out there and you do 45, are you transgressing that law? What if they say, well, we're going to take all the speed limit off, y'all just be careful. Can you transgress that law that used to be 40? She ain't there no more. They removed it. They took it off. There's a road out here on in Dawes area. There's about four different speed limits on that one road. And if you don't think that cop ain't working that road, you know it's hard to go out there and go 40 and all of a sudden got to go up to 55. It ain't hard to do that, but it's hard to get on there when it's 55 and drop down to 45 and do it, ain't it? And we want to keep on. That's the way I am. I don't care about the law. Get out of the way. That's my road. No, look what he says here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, go with me to 2 Peter. My time's about up. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. If Paul's gospel hid to people that are lost, that sure is. So if you ask somebody you're saved and you say, well, I have repented of my sins and asked Jesus to come into my heart and I'm paying my tithes, I'm going to church every time the door's open and I'm doing the best I can. And I'm not as bad as old Joe Blow over there. He gets drunk and beats his wife and his kids. Well, I'm not that bad. God's got to let me in. No, he ain't. There ain't but one way you're going to get into heaven, and that's through the gospel of Christ. And Paul told you, if his gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God of this world. That ain't Jesus Christ. That ain't God the Father. That's Satan. In whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Do y'all know who Hank Williams is? I ain't talking about Junior. I don't care nothing about Hank Junior. But I loved his old daddy. I used to lay up at night with a radio and listen to the Grand Ole Opry and just listen for the time that Hank Williams Sr. would come on. He's got a song out. I saw the light. Have you ever seen the light of the glorious gospel of Christ? Now that old man died about 29 years old, a drunk. But I believe, according to the words in some of his songs, and Brother Moore, if some of you remember, used to sing one of his songs. How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from the Lord? After all he's done for you, how can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from the Lord? Hank Williams wrote that song. I believe the man was saved, but he was a total alcoholic. I believe the man was saved. Have you ever seen that light? 2 Peter chapter 3, look at it. The context here, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, that's the last days of the tribulation, walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Well, beloved, we've seen from Deuteronomy all the way through the promise of the early and the latter rain. Where's he at? What are these people doing? They say, man, everything's just like it was from the beginning. Well, people don't believe a rapture's going to take place. I believe the rapture's going to take place. Amen. It may not take place in my lifetime, but it may take place in your lifetime. But then someday, God's going to say, the last person that has filled up the body is saved, and there ain't no need for them to stay here no more. I'm going to call my ambassadors home. Amen. Going to call them home. And I think about the story, and I believe Brother Moore used to tell this story about the man that got off the airplane. There was a bunch of people got off, and there was a bunch of bands there, and they was playing and a hooping and a hollering, and he got off and ain't nobody said nothing. And he said, Lord, I've been gone all these years preaching the word of God, preaching the gospel of Christ, and there ain't nobody caring. You know what he said? The Lord said, son, you ain't home yet. I'm not home yet. I am an ambassador for the Lord, and I'm still here trying to do the best that I can according to his word, rightly divided. Now, what are these people looking for in 1st and 2nd Peter? Same as those in the book of Hebrews. Same as those in the book of John. The early and the latter rain. They're looking for the second coming. That's what I'm not looking for the second coming. I'm looking for the rapture. I appreciate you being here. My time's gone this morning. Good to have Joe's sister and brother-in-law here with us. I hope you'll come back. And his wife also. Appreciate y'all being there. The rest of you, I appreciate y'all being here very much.